Very good afternoon. Yang Berbahagia Dato' Sri Tajuddin Adnan, Chief Executive Officer Bursa Malaysia. Puan Rosita Bahrum, Chief Financial Officer Bursa Malaysia. Bursa Malaysia Senior Management Team, members of the media, ladies and gentlemen. On behalf of Bursa Malaysia, a very warm welcome to the briefing of Bursa's year-end financial results for 2016. Ladies and gentlemen, there were presentations by Bursa's CEO and CFO, after which we open the floor for questions. Ladies and gentlemen, members of the media, to start the session, it is my pleasure to hand over to Dato' Sri Tajuddin Adnan to start off the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Liming. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. And good afternoon to everybody present, including those on teleconferencing. We have, I think, provided a copy of the slide presentation, and I think what I'm going to do is I will not belabor into the detail, given for two things. One, I think we have already given the slide presentation for you to look at the numbers. And in this current modern world, it's also interesting, when I was just having a board meeting upstairs, I saw some of the papers already released a report. So that cut short my presentation, I think. And we will go to Q&A subsequently to this. And Puan Roshida, the CFO, will actually give a little bit more color and details into this presentation. So without much ado, the presentation covers a few things. First and foremost, you will see on the third page the financial highlights and the topics that we will cover: trends, securities market, derivative market, and Islamic market overview, and dividends that the board have suggested to be declared. It's supposed to be a secret, but evidently it's already out because we made an announcement at 1 o'clock just now. So without much ado, on the next page, you could see the financial highlight showing our financial operating revenue, expenses, PATAMI, EPS, cost income ratio, and the annualized ROE. These are the numbers that we've been tracking. Overall, knowing for a fact that year 2016 is, but by any way of commenting, is quite a challenging year, both domestically and through and some domestic and external development that have impacted our market. Overall, 2016 operating revenue declined by 3% year on year due to lower securities trading revenue. The drop was partially offset by higher revenue from derivative markets. Cost income ratio increased marginally by 1% to roughly around 4.7%, while the return on equity declined by 3 percentage points. On the next page, you'll see some trending chart from bar chart and line chart showing the figures and ratios that we continuously track. Financial discipline remained consistent since the last 5-6 years, containing within as we grow our business, showing the last number at 47%. We took cognizance about our shareholders' interest and our utilization of equity. So ROE was one of the methods that we track. Operating revenue is an interesting growth over the last few years. It depicts the growth that we have despite the challenging year. Last year, period under review showed the second highest operating revenue in the last 8 years. Notwithstanding 2015 is quite higher. I think I made a comment or remark in the first half of this annual report, financial result, saying that the first half was exceptional year, exceptional first half. Second half subsequently did not track that well, hence where we reported. And PATAMI also shows a growth on the financial trend. The next slide is about more detail on the securities market. You will see ADVs of this securities market cap and fund raise. I think the comment made about the number of funds or IPO last year was equal to the number before, that is 11, but the size of those listed are quite small. Hence the reason why we see last year was not only challenging with regard to trading, but also with regard to new IPOs. But nonetheless, the secondary fund raise was quite substantial in the sense that there was total amount of 12.2 billion ringgit. The next slide is the performance of derivative, whereby FCPO continue to drive growth in ADC to a certain extent. The compensating decline in the securities market was compensated by derivative market. While in terms of Islamic capital market, business continue to grow as we market and develop the market, the Islamic capital market. The last point is with regard to dividend. We have presented the trend since 2012 on the table above, and you will see that the board in this meeting this morning have proposed a final dividend of 17 cents. The entitlement and payment date for the final dividend are 5th April and 18th April, respectively. On the left, on my left, you will see just a depiction of dividend yield as compared to some of these PLCs that is listed in Bursa. And you can get the source from the table, source from Bursa and Bloomberg. So without with that, let me hand this section to my CFO, who would give you a little bit more detail on the financial snapshot, the operating revenue, and the expenses. Roshita.
Thank you, Dato' Sri. Assalamualaikum, and a very good afternoon to all. Okay. I will continue with slide 11. Basically, this slide provides a snapshot of the key financial indicators performance for the quarter and for the financial year 2016. As mentioned by Dato, 2016 has been with many challenges. In the first half of the year, we saw strong inflow of foreign funds into the market, totaling approximately about 5.5 billion. And as a result, as Dato mentioned, first half was actually a good performance. Yeah? However, after the announcement of the MSCI rebalancing of its Malaysian index in mid-May, we saw some heavy sell-down of the Malaysian stocks by foreign funds. Yeah? In the second half of 2016, the Malaysian market was affected with first the uncertainty, then the outcome of the US presidential election. We again saw some heavy outflow of foreign funds, especially in the months of November and December. Total net foreign outflow in 2016 stood at approximately 3.2 billion. Due to these challenges, our operating revenue declined both quarter on quarter and year on year by 10% and 3% respectively. The decline in operating revenue was mainly contributed by the weaker performance of the securities market. However, this was cushioned by the stronger performance from the derivatives market and higher market data revenue. Despite the challenges, the operating revenue recorded this year is the second highest in the last 8 years, as mentioned by Dato earlier. As for the operating expenses, we saw a 15% decrease for quarter on quarter and a 1.5% decrease year on year. The overall 1.5% decline for the year was mainly due to lower staff costs. For PATAMI, the group recorded a consistent PATAMI of approximately 50 million, despite a lower quarterly revenue. The full year PATAMI, though, decreased marginally by 2.5% at 193.6 million compared to 198.6 million last year. The cost to income ratio was lower by 4 percentage points for quarter on quarter, but has marginally increased by 1 percentage point year on year. Moving on to the next slide, a bit more detail on the operating revenue. For financial year 2016, we recorded a 3% reduction, as mentioned earlier. Securities trading revenue continued to remain as a major contributor, accounting for 45% or close to 213 million of the total. The 9% reduction in securities trading revenue compared to 2015 was due to lower trading activities influenced by the various events globally and domestically, as what we have mentioned earlier. Derivatives trading revenue, meanwhile, registered a 3% increase compared to 2015 at 88.7 million. This represents approximately 19% of the group's operating revenue. The growth in derivatives trading revenue is also contributed by a 1% growth in the average daily contract traded, mainly from growth in the CPO futures, and higher collateral management fees earned from the higher trading margins required for derivatives trading. Besides, revenue contribution was marginally lower at 16.4 million compared to 16.8 million in financial year 2015, despite registering a growth in Visa's trade. Although the revenue contribution from Visa's remains relatively small at 3% to the group's revenue, trades continue to grow year on year. We also see continued growth in the non-trading component of our operating revenue, particularly in the market data business. The 5% year-on-year increase in market data business resulted from higher number of subscribers for derivatives market data. So moving on to operating expenses, as an exchange business, I think I've mentioned this several times, our cost structure is largely fixed. Approximately about 70% of our cost is fixed, with the remaining 30% varies with business activities as well as performance. Manpower and technology costs continue to be the two main cost drivers for us. Our manpower costs reduced by 5% year-on-year, mainly due to lower manpower number, whilst technology costs reduced marginally by 2%, mainly due to lower maintenance fee arising from a cost optimization initiative. Other operating expenses increased by 5%, mainly due to a one-off professional fees incurred for an operational efficiency exercise. The other components of the operating expenses remain fairly stable. These movements in the operating expenses led to a decrease of 1.5% in OPEX to 236.2 million from 239.7 million recorded last year. So basically, that summarizes the financial performance for Bursa Group for the financial year 2016. With this, I hand back to Dr. Sri.
Thank you, Rashida. The next few slides are some of the highlights or initiatives that we have worked on in 2016. Bursa is cognizant for the fact that we need to build a building block for the future for growth from both micro and macro sector. I think I've already brought most of you into the conversation about what are the areas of strategic intent that we have actually bucketed ourselves. In this next slide, you would see some of the strategic intent that we have put in place. Some are multi-year, some are on a particular year, subject to some requirements, discussion with stakeholders, our brokers, our retailers, these are some of it. Number one, strategic intent one normally covers to create a more facilitative trading environment. One of the areas that we have put in place was to extend the green lay policy to eligible futures brokers and eligible general clearing participants. The second one under strategic intent one is regarding to enable multi-currency fixed income instrument in web-based electronic trading platform that was done. On the second strategic intent two, we regard to facilitate more tradable alternative. Here, there was some launch that was put in place. I will not belabor into that, but you could see inside the details. On slide 15, some call and put warrants over the Standard & Poor's 500 index, launch of the 3 years, 5 years, 10 years MGS. It's a matter of, it's actually a relaunch of the futures contract. We were also excited last year to actually launch the Bursa Malaysia I, the world's first fully integrated Islamic securities exchange platform at its early stage, and we hope to actually spend a lot of time and energy and resources this year to actually promote this, not only domestically, also regionally. And also, we also launched the U.S. dollar-dominated TIN futures contract. With regard to strategic intent three, to reshape market structure and framework, we did amend the listing requirement to raise the standard of disclosure of corporate governance practices and launch the equities margining framework. to a certain extent that is in line with the WFE, World Federation of Exchanges requirement, to actually meet some of the regulatory requirements. Number four, strategic intent. Fourth strategic intent is regional marketplace with global access. You might be aware now, we did launch a FTSE4Good ASEAN 5 index, and we signed some MOUs last year with Taiwan and Indonesian Stock Exchange to collaborate not only with regard to the study to explore market opportunities, but with Indonesia, specifically with regard to Islamic financial market. All in all, if I can bucket the thinking process of developmental and growth area, the next slide depicts the way we partition or strategize our approach first with regard to value extraction. Value extraction is simply this. What we are doing sometimes take a few years to extract value. So those are projects that have been done. Subsequently, we hope to actually get value or through trading or investment or use of facility the following year. The second point is about building for the future. What are the things we do with regard to market structure, framework, and access to expand the growth of our market? Notwithstanding the fact that we do have a lot of liquidity in this market, given that we have high level of institutional play, but we think the outreach is more, is also a way to go forward. So in conclusion, our role still remain clear that we are not only for profit alone, we also have a double bottom line. We need to ensure that the market is always fair and orderly. With regard to also market recognition, we do have some recognition that is flashed subsequent to this, some awards that we brought to our attention because of what we have done different from others, and some partnership that we have put in place. Okay. So I won't belabor into the details and all those things. These are some of the slides, some of the awards that we got, some recognition that we have put in place, and subsequently the next one is the partnership. Going forward, I think 2017 will be still a market where you will see where the local events or to a certain extent global events will have an impact on the market. We still believe that domestic liquidity will still support our market and the Malaysian resilient and strong economic fundamental will prevail. But all in all, I think 2017 will be still a challenging year for the equity market. On the derivative market, I think you guys know that in derivative, volatility is our friend, and we still believe that the commodity prices volatility is an area of growth for at least the derivative market. And the Islamic market, we still think that BISAS is still relevant in terms of use by the Islamic finance environment, but one of the areas we hope to actually embark on and actually spend a little bit more time and resources, like I mentioned earlier, is Bursa Malaysia I, the world's first fully integrated Islamic securities exchange platform, and we expect to attract a wider pool of domestic and foreign investors. So that's the end of our presentation. Thank you very much. Can we go to the next section called Q&A?
Thank you very much, Dr. Sri. And for the visa. Ladies and gentlemen, please vote that you made available for telephone to be today. To ensure everyone to hand with the questions, we will take two questions from the floor, followed by two questions from the conference call. Before raising your questions, please identify yourself and the organization you're representing. Also, who is the mic that is available here? Ladies and gentlemen, members of the media, we have the first
any question? I like the fact that some of you are so progressive, you know, that when I was in the board meeting, I saw some report from some of you. So if you identify, I say your report's already been done. Okay, any question?
My name is Annette. I'm from The Edge. Just a question on the securities market trading revenue for next year. Do you expect it to improve? And if so, by how much? Or do you have a projection of how much it will improve by?
Okay.
Thank you.
Any, I'll take two questions, just one more.
Hi, Dr. Sri. Alexander from Nikkei. Yeah, just
from
a question.
Where?
Nikkei.
Where are you?
Nikkei.
Oh, Nikkei, okay.
What do you think about IPOs? How many IPOs do you expect to be launched in 2017, and what's your outlook on the IPO market? Thanks.
Okay. All right. I think, by and large, I think not only our exchange, I think exchange within this region was having a challenging year in 2016. This is quite fortunate for us to actually say a few things about our market. We do have enough liquidity in the market. That liquidity is not only supported by domestic player or retail player to a certain extent that have shrink, but also the institutionalized environment that we have had. I think we need to acknowledge the fact that the pension fund, we have also, unit trust environment that actually have provided this. And the high saving rate allows that. But that doesn't translate into heavy trading. But first half of the year last year was a good number. Subsequently, numbers was falling out a little bit. And our market somehow rather lead towards to see whether the foreigners are foreign investors are in or not. This is what we call it, some retailers trading at the coattail of the foreign players without new leads. But I think 2017 seems start with some promise. I wouldn't start with Trump, and then otherwise the other conversation will not start. So, but it seems that things are progressing in quite well. So I see some good numbers in terms of the first month or second month of trading. From IPO perspective, Alexander, first month saw two IPOs already. And we think we also got the approval for two more in February. All right. That brings us to four. If you compare that on year-to-year basis, I think last year, first 3 months, kosong. You know, so I think there's some promise. Conversation with some of these investment bankers indicate there's interest. Those interests are two parts. One, the new ones that are coming in. But the most important part is there were also some big ones who wanted to come in last year that have deferred their listing. So I think then the IPOs seems to be a little bit more promising. I will not be able to give you with the numbers. But trading-wise, in that aspect, also seems to be growing in this particular area. And all said and done, the externality is also an area of concern for us. I think all of you, most probably like me, stay up late at night, you know, to listen to some of the news out of some major news from U.S. about what Trump have got to say. Because before I face you guys, I better know what happened the other side so that I can actually reflect and think about the whole thing. But I think trading to a certain extent is quite, I'm cautiously optimistic that things will improve this year. That's a short of the long story I have to say. Yes?
Hi, Dato Sri.
Good afternoon.
Okay. The lady.
Sure.
You don't mind.
Thank you.
Your name?
I'm from New Straits Times. So just extending from Alexander's question, last year's IPO was 11, and 2015's IPO was also 11. Do you think this year will be more than 11? And what are the blockbusters IPO besides Sime Darby, two business division listing. Can you give us some clue?
I like this leading question time. Gentlemen.
Hi, Dato Sri. I'm Han from Bloomberg News here. Yes.
Okay.
Just on writing on the, is Bursa Malaysia planning to launch any more indexes to reflect the market better?
And to what?
To reflect the market better. And also...
To launch what?
More indexes.
Oh, indexes, yeah.
Yes. And also on... the KLCI is on the third year of decline last year, and also foreign outflows has been on the third year outflows as well. And just on a general comment in terms of Malaysian stocks, is it attractive for foreign investors to come in right now, being with the ringgit at this current valuation and also with the stocks as well?
Okay. There's a whole load of questions, Han. That's good questions. I think it's a fair question. First, on IPO, I think I think the numbers are stacking up, right? So we are hopeful that it is more than what we have last year and the year before. There's two things. One, the number is one. The size is the other one. I think based on size, we are quite comfortable to see big numbers coming out already. I think you know for a fact the next one is coming. The big one is Turbo Dynamic, I think. They have already launched their prospectus. Yeah. So that's in... So I can... 8 February. Okay. So the ones that is clear, I can actually tell you. You know for a fact I don't forecast. I'll give that detail. But I think the number and size seems promising this year. Going to Han from Bloomberg... I don't want to take the role of the analyst or the fund manager's view on how need to be done and how look to be done. But I sometimes can't help myself being on the other side before I come to the exchange. I do believe that there are opportunities in our marketplace. Simply because, one, the some of these, on a relative basis, some of these... companies have continued to remain to perform. I always have these events with the team that goes around to actually show some of these companies that have got values that have not been projected. One of the things that was proposed in the last budget was to have a research done on some of the small and mid-cap companies that have shown potential that have not been covered. And hopefully that will be an area the exchange will assist to help through the funding of CMDF and SE to provide insight and detail of how this company is performing. And to a certain extent, that value, I think, should be provided in the market to make our market attractive. So is the price or the market relatively good to invest? Or relatively, there's two sides of the coin, all right? I think the potential for some of the companies still have got some upside, given the projection and the growth that we have, not only from the company's perspective, but from the Malaysian economy. I think the World Bank actually projected a 4.3% growth of Malaysia, if I'm not mistaken. That would reflect well on some of the companies that have got related businesses in that area. And all in all, I think from a perspective of valuation perspective, two sides of the coin, like I said, some, as I was told by some analysts, to say that if you look at it from, let's not look at it from our side, from ringgit perspective. Those who are non-ringgit, to all of a sudden realize that if you convert their currency, the holding that we have in Malaysia, if you translate to ringgit at this current level, is still quite appealing. So I think there are areas that of growth. Do you want to expand anything on that, Han? Okay.
Do you want to expand further on the mid-cap initiative from the government? What are you guys doing to help out and assist?
We, in the last budget, the Minister of Finance, too, with some, with Securities Commission and Bursa, discussion, we thought that maybe we should provide a little bit more coverage for those companies that have not covered by some of our analysts. These are potential gems. And based on some statistics over the years, some of these companies have grown. So we thought maybe using some funds to allow research to be done on these companies that's not been covered. So that being the case, I think there will be some interesting research that's been done on these companies. With regard to index, I missed that part. With regard to index, I think one of the interesting things that has been done is at the ASEAN level, whereby there is index, ASEAN index that's been done, where I think from that alone, there will be interest of providing more...
Okay, I think in terms of that area, we are also planning to introduce a small mid-cap index that will be covering about 300 in terms of mid-small cap companies.
Can I invite Ms. Lily to talk about the index that we have worked on the ASEAN part?
My voice is loud enough, so FTSE, ASEAN,
we had launched the FTSE for good ASEAN index that covers five ASEAN countries. The next phase that we're going for is actually looking at products that we want to launch on the indices. If you had followed the announcements that MNCI had made on the 18th of January, if I'm not mistaken, they are converting all the Southeast Asia indices which they have to carry the naming convention of ASEAN. So that is a first step towards, telling people about the coverage of ASEAN. So that's one thing that we're going to do in terms of FTSE ASEAN. And then riding on what Puan Roshida had said, and also what Dato' Sri had mentioned earlier, on the mid and small cap research scheme. So while we are looking at the mid and small cap research scheme, the end product would also be an index on the mid and small cap scheme. Okay, so that will be a smaller subset of the 300 companies. So okay. While we look at the 300 as a whole, it will be a subset of the 300.
So there's a range of indexes that we've been looking at. We hope that more products will be built around it. Any other question? Go ahead. Behind. Yeah.
Okay. I have a follow-up questions regarding this SME index. How do you classify the SME?
You have the numbers, statistics? Small and medium.
Yeah, what we had done is that the first thing that we want to do, we go back to the basics, okay? The important thing is to ensure coverage of those companies which are not well covered or not covered at all. So we're looking at a range of between 200 million, okay, up to at least 2 billion, so within that range. So it's just under 350 companies.
Mm. Okay, holistically look at it this way. What is already being covered by analysts, we leave it as it is. But we feel that the ones that need to be covered below a certain amount, but higher than 200 million, of course, that are without any problem, lah. That the financial problem and all those things with potential, and then we cover that. We hope to cover around 300 companies. Next question, please.
Hi, Alexander again. Yeah, Dato' Sri.
Yes, sir.
Since trading volatility has been stagnant for this quarter, 27, and also last quarter was also 27,
yeah.
Versus last year, it's still a drop. When do you think, given that you mentioned that there are some positive signs, when do you think volatility will return, perhaps back to previous levels, or even better than that? Thanks.
You know I do that or not? So I was thinking, when will Trump make another comment? When will interest... frankly, what I'm saying is that I think market is reacting to some of this news that is going on. The easy story at this point in time here is the externality event, global event, is dictating global markets. For instance, the day Trump took office or inauguration, 90 broke to 20,000. All right? And I tweeted to say that hopefully it gets contagious. All right? But it didn't last that long. It would dry off. That's the state of mind that's going on. Of course, people are still working on interest rate movement, whether the Fed will start moving, all those things. Those are factors I think will impact. Even cross asset play is also a conversation at this point in time. Frankly, I think holding at this level and with some domestic impetus will trigger that. I believe that valuation on a particular basis of this company will provide attraction. One of the matters that I think should bring us interest is what are the new changes that is going on in some of these companies' announcement and some of the changes that in their business areas that will put some growth in that area. So exactly when, I'm not quite sure. But I can tell you that for a fact that the eyes are focused on most of the changes that will take place, that will lead which direction is going on. It can be up or it can be down, hence the reason why we are cautiously optimistic. But I still believe that market will be very challenging, moving and adjusting to the requirements of these changes that the market forces are putting in place. In short, these last two years is, in my professional career, is not one of the easiest to actually put a forecast and say this is where we're going. So hence the reason why I said it's quite challenging for anyone to actually sit up here to make a forecast of where we're going. But all said and done, that's why I said I refer back to some of the fundamentals, some of those factors that we have, the growth story that been carried by the exchange, and then the economy, and some regional factor, we still believe that our market will hold up.
Hi, Dr. Srini. I know what's the outlook for our also market for this year and how you see the unpredictable policy for Trump himself. Yeah.
I knew that thing would come. From a commercial perspective, I think alignment is to be made on how business is to be adjusted given the change in policy, all right? Change in policy encompass from exchange perspective, interest rate, policy shift in America, including the announcement made by Trump, and also some policy responses made domestically, both from our policymakers and from our ministry. Having said all those things and having experienced last year's challenges, I think, and having understood that the flight out of the exchange for the last 2-3 years from foreign have made our market a little bit more stabilized, and the price discovery still remain quite transparent, and liquidity still remain, I think the possibility of moving slightly higher is where I think it will be going. Not necessarily immediately, or the issue of timing, but I think based on those factors, we are actually should align your requirements of how the market will reflect. All right?
Member of the media, thank you very much for your questions. We'll now take questions from the conference callers. There are currently 20 callers listening in. For conference callers, please listen carefully to the call-in instruction. Juita, over to you for the instruction.
And now, a brief instruction for all teleconference participants. If you wish to ask questions, please press the one button on your telephone keypad to put yourself in the question queue. To cancel your question, please press the two button. The first question is from Mr. Robert Kong from Citi Research. Please proceed.
Thank you so much for the briefing. Two questions, please. The first one is on your staff costs. Your quarterly staff costs for this December quarter was down 12% quarter on quarter. It's the lowest staff cost we've seen for maybe 3 years. Could you just explain an update about what you've done there in reducing the staff costs, update on the headcount, and whether this is a new normal for your staff costs or whether there is some one-off and actually that the normal run rate of previous quarters, which I believe is nearer 33 million. The second question is about your balance sheet management. If you could discuss on your current cash balances and also your current, I think you have investment securities. Is there some ability to monetize that or just make the balance sheet a bit more efficient? I know you've paid special dividends in the past. I'm just wondering how you're thinking about your balance sheet efficiency, and of course that may impact your ROE. Thank you.
Do you have any more callers in the queue?
At the moment, there's no question, Miss.
Okay, can I respond to that? Robert, a few things I do when I first join the exchange. You know my background, I'm from banking. So somehow or other, bankers don't spend. Bankers like to earn first before they spend. So that reflects on the management style I have, and hence the reason why we track cost-income ratio. Interestingly, staff are rewarded subsequently based on performance. And we do track performance and reflection of how we perform. Two things is the constituent to that. The constituent to that is the, as much as we can see that last year was the second highest revenue earned as compared to over last eight years, we still believe that relatively we are still lower than that. To a certain extent, if we were to look at our internal budget, we exceeded our budget, but on a gross basis, on year-to-year basis, I still believe that we are slightly lower. So performance is one. I reflected on that. And the other one is headcount. We are moving towards an area where I would like to move and see that the organization move towards a high-performance organization where we would like to employ and get people of certain level of skills, knowledge, and caliber to be a part of an exchange. So it's taking me a little bit of time sometimes to employ staff, but I have a belief in the principle that, you know, it's easy to hire than to fire. So I would like to be a little bit more religious in acquiring people. Hence, the lesson staff cost, headcount, and a little bit on performance staff cost basis reflect that slightly lower than that. Whether this is a new normal, Robert, I don't think I will commit to that. But the philosophy here is, we need to grow the company. We need to grow the capital market. And we have actually laid down some of our business plan moving forward to achieve some structural changes. If that is required, I'll be required to spend to get the right skill set to actually do this. But I'm always mindful of the cost-income ratio that I have all this while used as a principle of managing the exchange so that, you know, it got to be risk-reward basis. So far, that's the response I have. On balance sheet management efficiency, we look at the excess fund. While the previous, there was 2 years in a row that we actually looked at the excess capital that we would we pay out a special dividend. We do believe that currently the amount of available cash is sufficient for us to run and maintain a healthy balance sheet for the company. But we also are cognizant for the fact that going back to some of the earlier question from the floor, which I did not commit clearly on, that was about some regulatory changes and commitment that is required for us to put aside a fund if required. So, but nonetheless, You will see, hence the reason why some dividend, the dividend payout slightly, if I'm not mistaken, equals to around 94.2% of our total PATAMI compared to 91.5% the previous year. All right. So whatever we gain or whatever profit we made last year, we have paid out, and we are just trying to ensure that we have enough capital in the case we have some regulatory requirement, for instance, margin requirement or the margining framework and all those things. So hence the reason why we look at it. In short, I will take note of the excesses if the need be, and the discussion will be tabled to the board if the position come to that really extra cash or extra capital that we have to actually give back.
Can we take any more callers in the queue?
Sorry, could I just follow up? Could I just follow up on that, please?
Yeah, Robert. Go ahead, Robert.
Yeah, sorry, could you just clarify what the change in the headcount numbers are between end of 2016 and end of 2015?
Let me get my CFO, see the numbers.
Okay, in terms of the numbers, I go by average headcount, yeah? In 2016 is 596, whilst in 2015 is 601.
So you can't explain the fall in staff costs directly to the headcount, because the headcount change is very minimal, actually.
Well, when you talk about staff costs, as mentioned by Dato' Sri just now, there's two parts. One is a fixed cost and one is a variable portion. So the variable portion is very much flexed towards the performance. So, as mentioned by Dato' just now, as you see, the performance this year is actually lower. Then, therefore, that would reflect in terms of the reduction in the staff cost.
Robert, 5 is N number. Along the way, there is also a movement of people along the way. Some are not employed the full year. I think maybe, Yoshida, you can provide a little bit more detail on offline on this one.
Again, as mentioned just now, the numbers that I've given is actually the average headcount, because that is actually a reflection of what exactly the end year could be a different number. So what I've actually mentioned just now is the average headcount. So there is actually a difference in terms of 5. But again, as I mentioned, there's two parts. There's also the variable portion, which would be flex or will actually somehow move in accordance to the performance of the company.
Okay, thank you. And then on the balance sheet efficiency, I think you've basically suggested that the cash levels that you have are appropriate for the level of business you're doing, so it doesn't appear to be much excess. But could you just explain what these investment securities are? I know there's a disclosure in the annual report, but is there something you can do there, you know, from a balance sheet efficiency perspective? You have about 200 and, is it 30 million of investment securities?
Okay, the investment securities largely in under the non-current assets, that's basically, it's quoted shares, right? It's basically shares that have been, to a certain extent, at the point of when we did alliance with CME, when they acquire 25% in Bursa Malaysia Derivatives, it is paid in consideration via the shares. So it is not really liquid funds, it is shares in CME.
Other question?
That's the biggest question.
Okay. All right.
Okay, thank you. It's clear now. Thank you very much.
Robert, you need any further clarification, you can contact my CFO. Yeah?
I will. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Robert.
Okay, Juita, do you have any more callers in the queue?
There is no more question from teleconference participants, please.
We are now open to the floor for questions again. Do you have any questions?
Okay.
What is your outlook on derivatives trading revenue? Because that seems to be an exciting thing for you guys. So what sort of growth are you looking at for the 2017 financial year?
in terms of growth percentage wise? Thanks.
I'm not going to give any projection here. So, but some historical numbers indicate that one of the key products is CPO, FCPO, and FCPO seems to be moving in trending northward to a certain extent, and we hope to hear more detail from some of these palm oil experts based on our palm oil conference that is going to happen in March. That is what they call it, palm oil conference, POC. During POC, we have some of the best brains who forecast where crude palm oil is going. Based on that, normally the trading takes place. So seems to be promising going northward. Notwithstanding that, I think it's not for our market. Is about volatility. And we believe that there is tracking in the right direction towards that. But the other second point is about our collaboration. Our CPO market is now a little bit more global. We have more participants from the region and also some from the U.S. who trade the FCPO. Hence the reason why over the last, 4 or 5 years, you will see the numbers growing. I still remember that when we started in 2012, when the collaboration with CME took place in 2011 and we put Globex on, we provide access. We started at around 30,000 contracts, Jeffrey? And then we moved to 32, 41, 44, and as last year, 46,000 contracts, yeah? I think we have grown leaps and bounds, and I think this is an area that is growing. One of the reasons is that palm oil seems to be one, both look at from different markets, edible and also some for industrial use. The utilization of palm oil seems to be increasing, and as long as that remains, Bursa Malaysia having the world's benchmark of SCPO will be a center of attraction. I think it will continue to grow in that particular area. Yeah, we did. I think we will announce when we come along. Yeah. That's the approach.
Members of the media, we take one last question.
Okay.
Any more questions? If there are no more questions, thank you very much, Dr. Sri, Puan Rashida, those of you who are here today, and those who are listening in. You are tennis guest, Kong Si Fa Chai. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Kong Si Fa Chai.